The watchword for this week comes from Psalm, verse 118, verse 4. Excuse me, chapter 118, verse 4. Let those who fear the Lord say, "The Lord's steadfast love endures forever." Friends, let us reflect on these words as we listen to this morning's prelude. If you're able, please stand for the call to worship. Almighty God, who lives and reigns forever and ever, blessed be your holy name. You came to us as a human being in humility and mortality. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. You turned away from power and might and chose grace and peace. Let us be the same mind and spirit. Prepare us today to welcome you into our gates and our hearts, that we may truly say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Amen. You may be seated. Well, friends, welcome to worship this morning at Christ Moravian Church, where we gather in recognition of Palm Sunday. Today is a special day in its own right, and it's also the beginning of our Holy Week this year, the series of days and accompanying worship services that will help guide us to Easter. We will begin the journey through Holy Week to Easter with the celebration and commitment of Jesus entering Jerusalem shortly before his arrest and execution, that special occasion that marks Palm Sunday today. And we'll continue throughout the week to engage with the last earthly days of Jesus through scripture and singing in our Holy Week books. But speaking of celebration and commitment, after we begin our Holy Week readings today, we will continue those themes of celebration and commitment with the baptisms of Christopher Colton and Evie Hansen. But friends, before we begin with all the special parts of today's service, I have some announcements to share with you. All the events at Christ Moravian Church for Holy Week, beginning today and extending through this coming weekend, are printed in your bulletin. Please refer to that schedule for how the coming week will be planned. If you have any questions about the date or time or details of a particular service or event in the coming week, please don't hesitate to reach out to myself or the church office. Thank you to everyone who generously donated food for our Lenten project this year with Sunnyside Ministry. We reached our goal of filling 50 tote bags with non-perishable food items. Sunnyside came earlier this week to pick them up. So thank you very much to all who gave. Today is the last day to drop off an Easter card for our special friends. Their boxes will be delivered to them very soon. Friends, this Thursday, in addition to our Holy Week service for that day, there will be a memorial service for Sister Phyllis Walker at 1 o'clock p.m. right here in the sanctuary. And after that memorial service, there will be a meal afterward in the fellowship building. Anyone who would like to attend the meal is welcome to do so. Friends, on Good Friday, one of our events will be cleaning the gravestones at God's Acre in the morning. And if you would like a gravestone of a loved one or someone special to you that's buried there cleaned, there's still time to fill out a gravestone cleaning form located in the resource room. All are welcome to join us in cleaning the gravestones Friday morning. There will be lunch and Easter egg stuffing afterward in the fellowship building. Friends, in addition to our calendar of events for Holy Week, there's also the Great Sabbath service at Home Moravian Church this coming Saturday, taking place in their sanctuary at 7 o'clock p.m. Then the next morning, early Easter morning, the sunrise service in Old Salem will begin at 6 o'clock a.m. Next Sunday for morning worship, we're excited to welcome Bishop Wayne Burkett into the pulpit to give the message for that day. As a reminder, for Easter Sunday, there will be no opening exercise or Sunday school next week, just morning worship at 11 a.m. And friends, 2 weeks from today, April 27th, there will be a general meeting of the Women's Fellowship after worship in the fellowship building. Let's take a moment and go to the Lord in prayer together. Gracious God, it is by your grace and your goodwill that we gather today in remembrance and recognition of the beginning of an arduous and tragic journey. One that's very close to your heart, as it was your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who entered into the gates of Jerusalem to a lot less pomp and circumstance that would normally befit the coming King, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Gracious God, Jesus would go on to continue to do his ministry, do the things that you called him to do until he was finally arrested, tortured, put to death, buried in a stone tomb. Gracious God, as our hearts begin to reckon with all of these awful events, we ask you to be with us, to help make us ready to engage with these things through scripture, through singing, through prayer, through worship. And gracious God, may the feelings that stir within us encourage us to more fully live out the calling Jesus has placed on our own lives, whatever that may be. We pray these things in his holy name today. Amen. Dear friends, today is Palm Sunday, and our responsive reading will celebrate Palm Sunday. It begins on page 49 of your hymnal. Now, before we begin, when we get to a certain point, I want to make note of something that will happen at that certain point in the liturgy. On page 53, there's a certain line of instruction that will tell us to flip to page 239 in the hymnal, and that's where we'll sing the Hosanna. If you have not ever sung the Hosanna before in worship, this is a special song we sing twice a year, today on Palm Sunday and also on the first Sunday of Advent. Now, the special thing about the Hosanna is that it's sung antiphonally, That's a fancy way of saying it's like a call and response. So looking at the Hosanna on page 239, the choir will sing the first part, and then the rest of us, the congregation, will respond with the second part. There's also a repeat in the Hosanna. When we get to the repeat at the top of page 241, that part with the two small dots at the end, we'll go all the way back to the beginning and then sing all the way through. So having said that, let us continue with reading our liturgy, eventually getting to the Hosanna. If you're able, I invite you to stand and let's pray that liturgy to the Lord together. Please stand. Shout for joy, you heavens, rejoice all the earth. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Rejoice greatly, shout for joy. See, your King is coming to you. He is righteous and brings salvation. We praise you, the Lord God of Israel. You came to the help of your people and have set them free.
Raised up for us, mighty Savior, a descendant of your servant David.
You promised through your holy prophets long ago that you would save us from our enemies, from the power of all those who hate us.
Have shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and have remembered your holy covenant.
With a solemn oath to our ancestor Abraham, you promised to rescue us from our enemies and allow us to serve you without fear.
Might be holy and righteous before you all the days of our life.
By your tender mercy, you cause the bright dawn of salvation to rise on us.
Give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
The voice of the messenger echoes from the desert, calling us to prepare the way of the Lord and to make a straight path on which he may come. Let us confess our sins, so that our crooked ways will be made straight and the rough ways smooth. Please be seated. Our sovereign Redeemer, we join the people of Jerusalem offering our own shouts of praise and celebration at your coming. Although we welcome you today with the multitude on Palm Sunday, we confess we have also stood with the condemning crowd on Good Friday. Our thoughts, words, and deeds have cried, "Crucify." We turn to you for help and forgiveness, gracious Savior, not because we deserve it, but because you are forgiving. Save us from our sinful ways and restore us to a life of loyalty to you. Amen. Through John the Baptizer, we hear the Lord's promise. Turn away from your sins, and God will forgive your sins.
Amen.
Eternal God, ruler of all ages, graciously you come to us in order that we might come to you. Through the merit of Jesus Christ, strengthened by the Holy Spirit, help us and all your children to respond to the call of your gospel with faith, love, and hope. God of faith, you created humanity to serve and praise you. And even when we rebelled against you, you promised to send a Savior to redeem us from our sins. Strengthen our faith in your saving work through Christ, as you chose the people of Israel to hear the promise of redemption through the prophets. May people today believe in your good will for all that you have made. God of love, you fulfilled your promise of a redeemer in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Grant us the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we may share your love with the sick and the afflicted, with the poor and the homeless, with the victims of injustice and discrimination, and with all who are experiencing times of trouble. God of hope, you comfort us through our Savior's promise to return in glory at the end of time. As we await the coming of the Prince of Peace, let us not despair. We long for you to inspire all the nations and peoples of the world to turn to cooperation and nurture rather than to hatred and destruction. God of faith, love, and hope, to you and to you alone we pray. You are our God, the only God, forever and ever. Please stand and let us sing the Hosanna together. Lord, you have kept the promise you made to our ancestors and have come to the help of your servant people.
We bring
remembered to show mercy to Abraham and Sarah, and to all their descendants forever. We praise you, Lord. You are enthroned in glory, yet you came and continue to come for all who will receive you. We praise you, for you are good, and your mercy endures forever. You be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Friends, let us go to the Lord again in prayer. Gracious God, the way in which we live and move in the world in relationship with you is very much like the way we just sung the Hosanna a moment ago. A call and response. You call and we respond. You create, sanctify, and redeem, and we respond with faith, love, and hope. Gracious God, thank you for your call. May our responses live up to the hope and potential you see in us to help change the world for the better in the manner of Jesus Christ. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. Will the ushers please come forward?
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Section titled Jesus Weeps Over Jerusalem, beginning on page 13 of the large book and page 12 of the small book. Now, just a few notes about the readings for today before we begin. We will not be singing the Hosanna again for the readings, as fun as it is to sing. We already sang it earlier during the liturgy. We also will not be singing the verse of Hail to the Lord's Anointed on page 10. It's another repeat from the liturgy. And then lastly, the final hymn, the hymn titled Bethany. I will ask everyone to stand, and everyone, congregation and choir, will sing it together before we proceed to the last part of the service. Aside from those notes, we'll sing all other songs in the readings today. So friends, I invite you, let us enter together into a time of scripture and song to reflect on the last earthly days of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The Acts of Saturday. Now the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went up from the country to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. They were looking for Jesus and were asking one another as they stood in the temple, "What do you think? Surely he will not come to the festival, will he?" Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that anyone who knew where Jesus was should let them know, so that they might arrest him. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him in the house of Simon the leper. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. And the other disciples scolded Mary. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly I tell you, Whenever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her. When the great crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. The Acts of Sunday. The next day, as Jesus and his disciples were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say, 'The Lord needs it,' and will send it back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told him what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. The great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, and many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. As Jesus was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'"
Thank you.
Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would shout out."
Jesus came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Entered the temple, and the blind and the lame came to him, and he cured them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the amazing things that he did, and heard the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became angry and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself'?"
Thank you.
Jesus speaks about his death. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor." Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. Say that the Son of Man must be lifted up. Who is this Son of Man? Jesus said to them, "The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light. This baptism is an outward sign of an inward change that the Spirit is making. A change for these young ones, a change for their family and friends, and a change for all of us. If you are able, please stand. Let us celebrate the baptisms of these young ones together.
In grace, God called and chose the people of Israel and established with them a covenant. I will be your God, and you will be my people. In that relationship, they were to be freed from sin and become a blessing to all. Then God came to us in Jesus Christ and fulfilled that covenant for all people. Through Christ's life, death, and resurrection, God made for us a new covenant of grace. We come before you with joy, O God, to claim the promises of your covenant. Our Lord Jesus Christ instituted baptism as the visible means of entry into the new covenant. Baptism is a gift of God. In this sacrament, through grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, we are united with Christ, are cleansed by his saving work, enter into the fellowship of the church, and are called to a life of faith and willing obedience. Those of you baptized into Christ Jesus, how were you baptized? We were buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glorious power of God Almighty, we too might be raised to live a new life.
In baptism, children also share in the benefits of our Lord's redeeming work through God's grace and the faith of parents and of the church.
For God's promise is to us and to our children.
Family, loved ones all gathered here for these three young friends of ours, as you present yourselves before God and this congregation, we call upon you to profess your faith. Do you believe in God as your Creator and loving Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and in the Holy Spirit as your Comforter and Sustainer, according to the Holy Scriptures?
Yes.
Everyone, loved ones of these children and the congregation, may join in the following profession of faith.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day,
thank you.
gracious God, for the gift of water, which you have created and given to us as a sign of life. We recall with gratitude how you led your people from slavery to freedom through the waters of the sea. We rejoice in the gift of the Holy Spirit at the baptism of your Son in the waters of the Jordan. And we praise you for opening to us the way of eternal life through his death and resurrection. Now send your Spirit upon Christopher Paul Hansen, Colton Cadence Hansen, and Evie Paisley Hansen, who received the water of baptism today, so that they may become living, growing, and active members of your church, rise to new life, be led and nourished by your words and sacraments, and share in your eternal blessings.
Amen.
Give to these parents and sponsors your wisdom and strength, that with love and understanding they may guide to Christian maturity the young lives entrusted to their care. Christopher, into the death of Jesus I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Colton, into the death of Jesus I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Evie, to the death of Jesus, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If any of the loved ones of these beautiful three children would like to come forward and participate in the laying on of hands, the following prayer, you're welcome to do so.
Upon you and give you peace.